Our study tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 9. Our need to remain long in difficult ministries. I wish that I had had someone preach a lesson to me on this when I was first in the pastorate. It would have saved me a lot of discouragement. Christians in ministry efforts today are often tempted to think that they should remain in a certain service for God only if they find it relaxing, peaceful, or exciting, but withdraw from that work if they face trials in it. Well, God has a different view of Christian ministry, and 1 Corinthians 16, verses 5 through 9, with other passages, clarifies this. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning at verse 5. Now I will come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to wait or tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. I remember when I first read that, I thought, that's a strange verse. He wants to stay there because there are many adversaries. Why would he want to do a thing like that? Well, Paul tried to arrange his schedule that he might stay a while at the difficult Corinthian church. The contents of 1 Corinthians, according to Dr. Ryrie's study Bible in his introduction, reveals that Paul faced, quote, an astonishing variety of aberrant beliefs and practices, end of quote, in the church at Corinth, and they needed to be addressed. I mean, we've just gone through the host of these. So when he wrote to this church, he stated that he would try to arrange his schedule so instead of just quickly passing by them on his way to somewhere else, he would try to winter with them. That would be a stay a while. Of course, if you winter with somebody at a port city, you're going to stay, you're staying put until spring. I mean, you're there for a couple of months. You're there through, you know, November, December, and January, and into February and early March. So it's a period of time. Meanwhile, Paul planned to remain at Ephesus, from which he was writing this epistle, since a great opportunity for effective ministry had been opened to him there, and there were many adversaries who needed to be faced in that work. Fascinating. When you run into difficulties, you stay a while. What's up? Well, this belief that he needed to stay a long time in a difficult ministry had actually been taught to Paul by the Lord himself in his past experience in ministry, and we can discern this from the book of Acts. And what I'm going to do for the rest of the message is take you on a journey through the book of Acts to describe what Paul faced, how God taught him the importance of staying in the ministry for a while. On his first missionary journey, Paul had been so opposed in his ministry that he had been stoned and left for dead at Lystra, a very traumatic event caused by previous foes from Antioch and Iconium. The stoning ordeal in Lystra had its roots in foes that Paul had faced first at Antioch of Pisidia, on the southern coast of Turkey, and then later at Iconium, which is a little further north in Turkey, present or in current Turkey, where unbelieving Jews had so opposed his gospel that they stirred up people against him, and they planned to stone him. See, they had actually planned to stone him back at Iconium. Well, Paul and Barnabas had then fled from Iconium to Lystra, preaching the gospel, until Jews from Antioch and Iconium had come to persuade the people of Lystra to stone him. So these foes really wanted to get him. They're chasing him for miles and miles and miles from these other cities to get Paul and put him to death by stoning. And of course, stoning is a very traumatic means of death, to say the least. However, God had raised Paul up so that he could not only minister at the next nearby town of Derbe, according to Acts 14:20, but even return to Lystra, where he had been stoned, and even to Iconium, where he could tell believers that they must enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Fascinating. Accordingly, when Paul had first arrived at Corinth on his second missionary journey and run into opposition in Corinth, To counter Paul's temptation to shy away from ministry for fear of possibly being stoned again, and I could see Paul wanting to shy away from that. He had already been through it once. In a night vision, God had encouraged him to stay at Corinth, that nobody would hurt him there, as God had many people who were about to turn to Christ in that city. So Paul stayed for another 18 months. Well, while he was staying at Corinth for 18 more months, some Jewish foes tried to trouble him at Corinth. And before Paul could open his mouth to defend himself before the official overseeing his trial, the official dismissed the trial so that Paul could continue to minister at Corinth for another good while or an extended period of time. So the Lord ran interference for Paul so that instead of being whipped or stoned or whatever, the official, Gallio, in fact, we know from secular history that Gallio was in that position just for 1 year, 54 AD, and then he wasn't there anymore. He just happened to be the right official at the right time to keep Paul from being hurt, so that Paul could continue his ministry at Corinth. And that helps us also to date the book of Acts, because we know from secular history when Gallio was the proconsul of Achaia. So, God had also produced enormous fruit growing out of his greatest hardship, his stoning at Lystra. Now, you would think that at Lystra, I mean, that was the pits where you were stoned and left for dead. But believe it or not, the greatest ministry, one of the most effective fruits of Paul's ministry came at Lystra. You know why? Well, Lystra, where Paul was stoned, was the home of Timothy. That's where Timothy came to know the Lord. And Paul's beloved son of the faith, that's what he was called. And in a letter to Timothy at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul could later refer to his stoning at Lystra in Acts chapter 14, 9 as a guidance for Timothy, his son in the faith, in view of Paul's imminent martyrdom. See, Paul was about to be put to death in 2 Timothy. We know that from the last chapter where he says, the Lord has told me that I have to be, I'm going to be offered and my time of departure is at hand. He was already on death's row. But you'll notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, he says, but you have fully known my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. See? Because Lystra is where Timothy was saved, and he knew all about the Jews chasing him from Iconium and Antioch. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, and that includes you too, Timothy, shall suffer persecution. So Paul was able to give an encouragement to this young man in the faith as he's on death row. He says, you know, Timothy, you're going to face persecution too. Who knows? You might even face martyrdom like I'm going to face. We don't know. But you need to be encouraged to stay at the ministry that God has assigned you. However, this ministry of Paul to Timothy expands many times over if we realize that Paul's pastoral epistles, two of which were for Timothy, that's 1 and 2 Timothy, and Timothy's from Lystra, where Paul was stoned, they have provided priceless guidance for countless servants of God regarding ministry trials. It's amazing how many times, if you go through 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul talks about handling trials. For example, Paul urged Timothy to stay at Ephesus where people erred so that he might counter their doctrinal error in 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4. Timothy might have been tempted to want to quit the pastorate at Ephesus, a big church, but quit it because he was running into people who were opposing him. And Paul says, just as I told you to stay there, I want you to stay on. Those people need to be countered. And then Paul illustrated by his own conversion of one who once persecuted the church, only to become an apostle, as an example of the need for patience in discipling difficult people. This is fascinating. In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote about how bad a sinner it was and how he had hurt Christians and he had persecuted them. And Paul says, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance. But in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 1, he says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul was a terrible persecutor, but the fact that God would reach him, and we know that Paul wrote nearly, if not half, of the New Testament, look what God did with that man. So that should give us encouragement when we're facing difficult people in ministry to stay at it, because who knows what God's going to do with him. He might turn him around. So we need to be excited and not discouraged just because we run into difficult people. And then number three, he urged Timothy to rely on the Holy Spirit to avoid being timid before imposing opponents in ministry in 2 Timothy 1:3-7. Paul told Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier in 2 Timothy 2:3. And he told him how to do it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4-7. He talked about an athlete and showed how that he's supposed to be a good soldier as an athlete running. He gave the illustration of a farmer. He gave an illustration of a soldier. So all of these illustrations there deal with how to deal with imposing opponents. Paul told Timothy to respond to satanic-influenced people in his work in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. He says some people you're going to run into have actually been taken captive by Satan to do his will. Well, this is how you handle them. He told them, don't get into arguments with them. You're very gentle with them. You answer the questions and so forth. You be patient. You suffer wrong patiently in hopes that God will grant them to repentance. And then Timothy was also supposed to work with all long-suffering and careful teaching, preaching God's word and accountability to God and Christ at his coming and kingdom in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Long-suffering, there it is again, long-suffering, putting up with pain, putting up with difficulties and facing the ministry. So as seen in Paul's ministry and words, God wants his servants to stay put if they face difficult ministries. So may we stay faithful to our calling from God in a difficult ministry until he alone would remove us. This past week I received an issue of Voice of the Martyrs. It's a magazine that deals with Christians who suffer in other parts of the world. And this issue, this month's issue, deals with Christians in India who are suffering. They've had a new prime minister who's a Buddhist, or Hindu actually, who's come to the power. And he's very, very pro-Hindu, and he belongs to an organization that wants to purge India of everything except Hindus. And of course, Christians are coming under tremendous persecution there. Well, they have a story of one man by the name of Jatia. Jatia is a pastor. He's 90 years of age. He has been tortured 8 times for the faith. And he says, until my last breath, I want to serve and live my life for Jesus. And he's facing a possible 9th torturing. In one of his torture, all his fingers were broken. A number of times he's been knocked unconscious. And when he regains consciousness, he gets up and he goes back and he continues preaching until they knock him out again. And he tries to get up and so forth. This man has a church in his house, and his 2 sons now are helping him with it. But someone had asked him about, does he fear being persecuted at his advanced age, being 90 years of age? And immediately, guess what he did? He selected 2 Timothy 1:7, one of the passages that we talked about tonight. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And that's what he quotes. And so Paul's suffering at Lystra has paid dividends many times over, not only in Timothy's life, but through his epistle. And here it's bearing dividends in the life of this 90-year-old pastor who's been tortured 8 times, and he's preparing for the 9th time, and he's going to serve the Lord as long as he's alive. You know, when I read that story, I said, I don't have problems. You know, I might have had trials in the ministry. I don't have trials, not like this guy. I mean, this is a jewel of a man, 90 years of age, 20 years older than I am, and here he is, he's just going for the Lord. And at one of the other places, he said, you know, I've already given up so much for the Lord. There's no turning back at this point in my life. It's just going forward for him. So I'm just going to serve him as long as I'm alive and live for him. So the need to remain long in difficult ministries. Jatcha's done that, and he's still doing it. And he's a living testimony for us. He certainly is a living testimony for me. I know in my own life. And I found it a very gentle rebuke from the Lord. Sometimes I like to feel sorry. You're tempted to feel sorry for yourself. You look at a guy like this, wow, here he is. And I'm sure he's going to clean up with the rewards in heaven, this dear man of God. But he loves the Lord. His family loves the Lord. His sons, they're willing to take up the mantle and carry it forward. But it's very important to stay a long time in difficult ministry. Sometimes even difficult people, sometimes the most difficult people like Paul had been, are the ones who are going to be the best servants of God. We don't know. We don't know. So we should never give up, but always keep serving the Lord.